much. If you would take the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we'll begin in verse number 1. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to preach this evening. I do not take it lightly. I'm thankful for your church, for the opportunity that we have to be with you this evening. If you found your place there in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we'll begin reading verse number 1. We'll read just the first 6 verses, and we'll take our text here, and we'll turn a few other places, but I trust God has something for us tonight. And I was really praying about what God would have me to preach this evening, and Brother Bob Mann called me just a few weeks ago and just told me about the day, that what today was, and how Brother Seaman and his wife were leaving after 35 years. And I'll be honest, I got a little nervous, and I thought, oh man, I'm preaching his last service. So, but I believe the Lord's given me a message for this night, and really just an encouragement to continue on to the things that God has given us to do. But if you found your place there in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." In this passage of Scripture, and really in this book of the Bible, we find the sermon of the King Solomon. And we find this sermon, I actually taught a Sunday school lesson out of this morning. I told the kids, how would you like it if your pastor preached a 12-chapter sermon every Sunday? And they were like, no. But we find this sermon of King Solomon, and he starts all the way in the beginning, and he talks about vanity of vanities, and how everything in the life and in this world that he's seen is just vanity. And he comes all the way to the very end, and we find the conclusion of the whole matter that he says in verse number 13 of chapter 12. And he says, the conclusion of the whole matter is simply to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And we come here to this, and we find that really in our world today, we're falling away from those who would keep God's commandments. Those who would do the whole duty of man. Those who would stay faithful to God. 35 years is an amazing testimony. We praise the Lord for that. And what an amazing thing to see as I'm just now entering into the work that God has for me to do. And I can look to the generation who's gone before me, and I can see how they've stayed faithful, and it encourages me to stand and to stay faithful. But I must say, we're falling away from that. In our world today, so often we see many Christians who are just living a comfortable Christianity. They're not doing the things that they know they should be doing. They're not standing strong for God. They're very relaxed and very content to just come in on a Sunday morning and sit down and leave. Maybe come back on a Sunday night. Maybe come back on a Wednesday. Maybe even read their Bible once or twice a week. But there's no conviction in the Christian life. There's no faithfulness in the Christian life. And as we come to this passage, really I'd like to focus in on the first phrase of the first verse that says, "Cast thy bread." You know, God's given each and every one of us something to do with our lives. God has a plan for our life. He has the way that we can serve Him with our entire life, and we can stay faithful to Him, and we can understand the conclusion of the whole matter, that we must fear God and keep His commandments, and we can fulfill His purpose for our life. But you can never finish a course. You know, Paul said, "I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." We can never finish the course if we don't start. We can't ever keep the faith if we don't take hold of the faith. If you turn with me quickly to Titus chapter 3, I'd just like to read 2 verses here. Titus chapter 3. We find in this passage, the beginning of chapter 3 is talking about how when we come to Christ, what we came from, But when we come to Christ, there's something that's given for us to do. And in Titus chapter 3, verses 8, and again in verse 14, the Word of God says in verse 8, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Again, in verse number 14, he says, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." God desires for us to live a fruitful Christian life. God desires us to live a life that we can look back and not regret it. We can look back and not have to say, as Solomon says in verse 12 or in chapter 12, that they looked back on the years and had no profit in them. God wants us to live a profitable Christian life, to live a fruitful Christian life. But the very sad fact is that so often Christians get to the end of their life and they can't reap anything because they never sowed anything. They can't reap a harvest because they never started out on the path. We come to chapter 11 and verse number 1, and it says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." And as we come into this passage, we're going to see three things very quickly that I believe God has for us. This first thing here in verses 1 and 2, we see the charge to act. God's given us something to do. And really, these two verses, you could say, this is man's work. This is the work that God has for us to do in this life while we're here on earth. And this charge to act, it comes with two things that we must understand. In verse number 1, we must understand that this charge to act, we must act by faith. Verse 1 says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." You know, it's funny, that word "many" is very relative. I was thinking about a way to illustrate this as I was looking over my notes, and I don't know if this is a good illustration, but this summer we have put many miles, I know this is bad grammar, we've put many miles on the van. We've put almost 10,000 miles on there. But I could also say this summer that I have consumed many cups of coffee. I haven't consumed 10,000 cups of coffee. The word "many" is very relative. And we have to understand that as God's given us something to do, as we cast our bread upon the water, when it says it shall return many days, we have to go by faith and just believe that if I give everything that I have to God, He's promised that I'll find it again. And it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next year, it may not be 10 years, it may be 20 years, but He's promised I'll find it again. And this charge to act, it must be done by faith. You think about this, cast thy bread, it was something precious to them. It was something they needed, something that they had to have to sustain themselves. What do we have that's always precious? Time is very precious. Do we give our time to the Lord? 35 years is a lot of time. Do we give our time to the Lord? Do we give something that's precious to us to the Lord? The Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the water." It was precious. This is the sowing. This is the work that God has for us to do. Whatever that bread is, God can show you in your own heart, in your own life, what it is that's very precious to you that you don't want to give up. Maybe it is time. Maybe it's resources. You name it, you fill in the blank, but God's given you something to give back to Him. A work that you must do, that you must give to Him, and that's the sowing. Cast thy bread upon the waters, but the reaping, for thou shalt find it after many days. You know, I was studying this passage of Scripture, and that word "bread," it's talking about wheat. And I found something very interesting about wheat. Wheat is planted the very earliest of the crops that were planted in this time in the Bible, in Solomon's day, the crops that were planted, wheat was planted the earliest. But it took the longest to sprout up and to show. And sometimes that's what we find in our Christian life, that God gives us something to do. God gives us a charge to act. He tells us to go out. Maybe it's just to go to the next aisle over and to shake the hand of the visitor who's here. Maybe it's to go to the next door neighbor and just to invite them to church, or go to that coworker that we've worked with for years but never told them that we're a Christian. But God's given us something to do, and sometimes we may give it and we may not get it back or see any results for a very long time, but that doesn't change the fact that God's told us, "Cast thy bread upon the water." And we see this charge to act. It must be done by faith, but also in verse number 2, we understand it must be done without hesitation. Look at verse number 2. "Give a portion to seven and also to eight, For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Solomon, in this passage, in these first six verses, he emphasizes that phrase, thou knowest not. And the fact of the matter is, we don't know how long our life is going to be on this earth. We don't know how many years we have to give the Lord. Myself, my wife, the ladies, we were just at a camp about just a week and a half ago in Athens, Tennessee. We met this young girl, her name was Callie, just 15 years old, great Christian girl. And we just found out yesterday that right after camp, she went to on a missions trip to Mexico. And she was on her way back, and the bus had pulled into a gas station, and while they were there, a tree fell over and hit the bus and killed her. She's 15 years old. We don't have tomorrow promised. We don't know how long we have on this earth, but God's given us a command to serve Him, and this charge to act must be done by faith, but it must be done without hesitation. He says, give a portion to seven and also to eight. You know, if we have it, we should give it. If we have a little, we should give a little. If we have a lot, we should give a lot. But whatever God's given us, we must give it back. Whatever God's given us to do, we must do it. In Proverbs 3, Solomon, he says this in a little earlier in his life, but he says about the same thing. In Proverbs chapter 3, I'll read these verses 27 and 28. He says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. God says when He's given us something to do, we must do it without hesitation. We must do it. We must say even now, Lord, whatever You tell me to do, I'm just going to say yes. Determine now in our lives that whenever God comes to us and says, Jonathan, you need to do that. Yes, Lord. It's not a question, well, Lord, do I really have what I need to do it? God, do I really have the time to do it? It's just, yes, Lord. I remember the year I spent in the United Kingdom working there at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel with Levi and Brittany, and just a wonderful time in my life. God did such an amazing work in my heart while I was there. But I remember so many times working on the van route, and we would get in that minibus, the yellow one, if you've been over there, and we would start backing out of Beaches Road Baptist Chapel, out of the car park, and we'd be backing onto Beaches Road to either go pick up kids or to go take kids home after a youth group or something like that. And so often I would walk to the back of that bus and I would look out both sides and look down both sides of the street. And I'd say, okay, wait, there's a car coming. Okay, after this car, okay, go. And Levi or whoever was driving, they would back out. But you know, they had to trust me. They had to trust me that I was watching both ways, that I was looking to see if any cars were coming. And then when I said go, they had to go. They had to go without hesitation. God gives us the same thing when He says, here's something to do. This charge to act, this serving Him, it must be done without hesitation. And it must be done by faith. We see this charge to act. We understand this is man's work. This is the work that we have to do. But secondly, I'd like you to notice in verses 3 and 4, the caution of idleness. We see the charge to act, but notice, secondly, with me, the caution of idleness. And really, this is the way of the world. This is what the devil, this is what our flesh, this is what sin wants us to do, is to be idle, to be comfortable, to not go out and to do what God's given us to do. I was telling the teenagers this morning, the devil's favorite word isn't no, it's just simply tomorrow. The devil will say, yes, you need to serve the Lord. You need to go out and do everything that God's given you to do, but why don't you just start tomorrow? And then tomorrow will come around and he'll say, yeah, you need to get to that, but what about next week? The devil just wants us to stand idle one more day. He always wants us to stay idle just one more day. Look at verse number 3. We see here some excuses disproved. Verse number 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. How often have we heard, well, I only have enough for me. God, you want me to do something, you want me to give something, but I only have enough for me. Well, the Word of God says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. If God's given us something, then we need to give it back. We can't hold everything that God's given us as Christians. If we have something poured into us, we need to pour it back out to those around us. And so often we say, well, I only have enough for me. What about the widow and the two mites? What about when Christ is standing in the temple and all these people are giving great riches and this widow comes in with just two mites and puts it in and Christ says, look, she gave more than everyone else. She gave more than everyone else because she gave all that she had. So often we don't give all that we have and we say, well, God, I can't do this. I only have enough for me. Look at the second part of the verse. It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. How many times have we heard this? And, well, I'm just really not in a position to help anyone right now. Well, in this time of my life, I'm just really not in a position to do what God wants me to do. I'm just really, you know, when I get out of high school, then I can serve the Lord. When I get out of college, then I can serve the Lord. When I have my own car and I own my own house, then I can serve the Lord. I'm just really not in a position to serve the Lord where I'm at. Well, the Bible says, if the tree fall to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. You know, God's put you in the place you're in right now with the intent of you serving Him in that place where you're at, right where He's placed you. And this caution of idleness is to not just stand there and say, well, when I get to the next place, I'll serve the Lord. No, the caution is to serve Him. The command is to serve Him now, to not stand idly by. You know, church, this fact that I'm about to say has helped me so much. I heard someone say this one time, and I want you to get this, and it's very simple. But I heard a pastor say one time, your position in life does not exclude you from the good that God has charged you to do. Your position in life does not exclude you from the good that God has given you to do. God's given us all something to do. It may be something in our eyes that seems very small, or if we're the one that God's given us to do, it may seem very big. But the place where God has put us, He wants us to serve Him there. We see in verse 3 these excuses disproved, but notice in verse number 4, idleness condemned. He gives this caution, He condemns it in verse number 4. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Church, if a farmer is there the entire time and he's just staring at the wind, waiting for the wind to be perfect, for the conditions to be just right, he'll never sow. He'll never plant his crop. And if he plants it and he gets it planted and it all grows up, if he waits till the rain is just right, he'll never reap a harvest. And the fact of the matter is, if we stand idly by when God's given us something to do, we'll never do anything for the Lord. And as God has given us something to do, as God has given us this charge to act, we see this caution of idleness. John Bunyan said, ye have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. Proverbs 20 and verse number 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. Churches, as God gives us something to do, He gives us this caution of idleness. He says, don't just stand idly by. Don't see the need and see the work and say, well, I'm just going to wait a little longer. He gives us this charge to act, and we must go out and we must serve Him faithfully. We see the charge to act. We see the caution of idleness. Lastly, I'd like you to notice very quickly the urge to continue. And we see the amazing works of God in these last two verses, verses 5 and 6. We see the amazing works of God. Verse 5 says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You know, God, He says, I'm going to give you the urge to continue despite your lack of knowledge. He says, you don't know how the Spirit, though the way of the Spirit. I won't turn to them, but if you'd write these verses down, Amos chapter 4 and verse 13. Amos chapter 4 and verse 13, God says in that passage that He created the wind. That He created the wind. He's the creator of everything. He's the creator of the mountains, and it says He created the wind. And then in John chapter 3 and verse 8, as Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus, He says that as the wind moves and you don't even know where it comes or where it goes, it's the same with the Spirit of God. You don't know when He comes and you don't know where He's going, but He's there. And just because you don't know how God's working, He says, just continue on and serve Me. Continue on despite your lack of knowledge about the way of the Spirit. He says also, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. We don't always know every answer. In our country right now, We have a terrible thing going on. There is no reverence of life in our country. And just because we don't understand everything about our body, you know, the Bible says in Job 31 and also in Jeremiah 1 that God formed us in the womb. And just because we don't know about it, God created us and God forms us in the womb. And he says, even if you don't know how the bones grow, just serve me. Just continue on. He says in the last part of that verse, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. We know that passage of scripture in Isaiah 55 where God says that his ways are higher than our ways, that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And despite our lack of knowledge, we don't understand everything that God does, but he urges us just to continue. Just continue on. Just faithfully serve him. Just go on for him. Even when we don't understand how it's going to work or how it's worked up to this point, he says, just go on. May I encourage you that the works of God always agree with the word of God? You say, brother, I don't know what to do. Well, you can run to God's word and he'll tell you what to do. Brother James Anker, while I was in England, he was preaching a chapel message one time to the students that were there, and he was talking about knowing the will of God. And he said, everyone always asks me, how do I know the will of God? And he said, well, I don't know the will of God for you, and a lot of times I don't know the perfect will of God for me. But he said, the closer I get to God, the easier it is to see what he sees. He said, if God's here and he's staring down this aisle and this is the path for my life, but I'm all the way over here and I'm not anywhere close to God, it doesn't look the same. I see a lot more obstacles to get to where God has me to get. But the closer that I read God's word, the more I read God's word, the closer I draw to God, the more time I spend in prayer, the more I come to God and the closer I get to him, now I can see what he sees. And the works of God will always stay true to the word of God. Excuse me, will always agree with the word of God. And God says, despite your lack of knowledge, just continue on. Quickly, despite the time, verse number 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. God says, whether it's the morning, serve me. Whether it's the evening, serve me. Despite the time, just keep on serving me. Many of you are thinking, despite the time, you don't need to keep preaching. But despite the time, just serve me. He says, if you're young, if you're in the morning of your life and you're not sure, can I encourage you that in chapter 12, he says, in the days of thy youth, serve him. God says, despite the very beginning of your life, serve him. All the way in the evening, at the end of your life, when you say, I don't have much more to go, God has something for you to do or you wouldn't be on this earth. God has something for you to do to serve him. And he says, despite the time, continue on. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. No matter how long you've been at it, maybe you cast the bread on the water 20 years ago and you've not found it yet, just continue. God knows the time. God's not in time. He's out of time, but he sees all of time. And he knows what you're going through. Just keep serving him. And lastly, the end of verse 6, despite the outcome, no matter the outcome, serve God. Verse number 6, in the middle part again, it says, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. God says, despite the outcome, just serve me. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what comes at the very end of it. Just continue. Just continue on. One passage, and I'll be done. In 1 Corinthians, we know this passage of Scripture very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just two verses, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, I have planted, Paul is speaking, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Church, can I just very, very simply encourage you, continue on. Be faithful. As we stand here on a Sunday and we look back on 35 years of faithful service and many more to come, may I say, just continue. Just go on for the Lord. We have the charge to act. We have what God's given us to do. We have the caution of idleness. We know we can't stand by and just watch. But we have this urge to continue. Go on for God. Being a faithful steward isn't about producing results. It's about obedience. The results don't matter. The results aren't up to us. All that matters to us as Christians is just to obey the Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for thy word and the truths that are found in it. Lord, I pray that you would speak to the heart of the Christians here, Lord, that they would understand that there's a great work to be done, but we serve an able and a faithful God, one that will never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, I pray that you would do an amazing work here in the hearts of your people. If there's one here who has never trusted Christ, Lord, I pray that they would understand they're a sinner in need of a Savior. They would trust in Christ and be saved. Father, we love you. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Brother Daniel is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. I wonder if you're here this evening and you say, Brother Jonathan, I hear all this, but I'll be honest, God's working on my heart. I don't know that I'm a Christian. Maybe you say, if something happened to me like that happened to that young girl, I don't know that I'd be on my way to heaven. Would you just slip your hand up? I'd just like to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. If you're here this evening and you say, I don't know if I'm a Christian, I'd just like to pray for you. And dear Christian, is God giving you something to do? He's given us all something to do. Is he pointing something out right now that you should be doing that you're not? What if you would just come to this altar and say, God, with your help, I'm going to start. Or if you've already started, maybe you can come and you can say, God, with your help, I'm just going to continue on for you. Even if I don't understand it, even if it's been a long time, even if I don't see results, I'm just going to continue on for you. Come and do business with the Lord.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King, always only for my King.
We'll have one more verse here in just a minute. Again, maybe you'd like to come and say, God, help me to continue. Lord, you've given me a lot. Help me to use what you have given me for your honor and for your glory. And again, let me extend the invitation tonight. If you're here without Christ, if you don't know 100% sure that heaven's your home, you come. Allow us to show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. As they sing through this last verse, you come.
Take my love, my God, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Brother Heaton, thank you for that message. The Lord used you. Appreciate that. And we've got a few things we'd like to take care of before we head over to the gym for our reception. And I'd like to have Brother Gary and Miss Debbie, if you wouldn't mind, to make your way to the platform. And you can have a seat up here. We've got some things that we'd like to present. If you were not in the service this morning, the Victory Bible class presented a nice iPad for Brother Gary. The youth department presented a new Apple Watch for Mrs. Seaman. So thankful for their many years of service. service here at the church, and these are just small tokens of our appreciation for what you've done. So grateful for your friendship, and it's so what a privilege to serve alongside both of you for many years, and thankful to for your love for the Lord and your faithfulness to Him. Brother Wakefield's going to come, and he's got a presentation from the single purpose class. And then as soon as he's finished, Brother Marty's going to come and make a presentation from the church. Brother Wakefield.
Well, much has been said already, but Brother Seaman, Mrs. Seaman, I've not been here as long as most people, but I have benefited greatly from you both and appreciate your friendship and your ministry. And just a couple weeks ago, as we began to just think about what we could do specifically, we, as a class, just began to put just a little bit away to come alongside the gifts that were given to you this morning, things that can be purchased for them, like a case and a watch band or something to go along with those things. And so our class has just put together a little bit they wanted to give to you, and we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Look forward to what God's going to do with you.
Well, Brother Seaman, Mrs. Seaman, on behalf of the church, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we'd like to express our appreciation for 35 years of service. With you serving the Lord here with us, it's been a tremendous blessing. While the Lord has used you here in many ways, I'm just going to name a few. The Lord has used you to reach the lost. There'll be names in heaven and folks you'll see in heaven, not names of folks you will see in heaven because of your ministry here. Your teaching and your preaching has edified the believers here. You have shown us an accurate picture of the Christ that died for us. You've enriched the services with your music and allowing the Lord to lead you into having just the right song at the right time. Miss Seaman, thank you for being the wife and the handmaid that you have been. Because of you, of your life, and your testimony, you've enabled Brother Gary to be able to do what he's done here and receive the accolades he has received. Thank you for pouring into our young ladies. You have made a great impact in their lives. I know in my own daughter's life personally, her testimony is that you enabled her as she was to leave the church, leave home, go to college. You strengthened her and helped her. So thank you both for all that you've done for the Lord here, and it's been an honor to serve you. And on behalf of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the church would like to give you this, and thank you again for a job well done.
Thank you. You may be seated for a long time here. No. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." God has been so good to me. God had me born in a family of a pastor. A mom who loved us, she led all five of us children to the Lord. She's in heaven today. My dad is in Ohio. My brother has dementia. This morning, Steve called me this afternoon and said, "Dad, woke up at 4:30 this morning and said, where's Gary?" And he said he woke up again at 6:30 or some other time and said, "Where's Gary?" Now, I can't prove it, but I just wonder if God had put me on his heart. And even in his condition, Dad was still praying for his son. Marty, thank you for the kind words about my wife, and I say amen. Amen. I tell you what, Preacher Lastly's often said, without a godly woman to stand behind you, you can't do it in the ministry, and I say amen to that. And my wife has been faithful And it's been so good to me, and I'll just be honest with you, she's been much better than I deserve. And she is such a blessing and a help to me. Church, thank you for allowing us to labor here for these 35 years. And choir, you've put up with me for a long time. Your time in purgatory is over, and now you're going to have a great time. Victory Bible class, I already spoke to you this morning, but thank you so much for your kind gift. I know my wife would say the same for those in youth department, and that kind gift also. But folks, it's been good. It's been good. And we are excited about the future. We're torn about leaving, though. I'll just be honest with you. This has been a great place of service, and you have been so good to us. And we thank you for that. And finally, if I can't say thank you to everybody, but I can say thank you to Preacher Lashley. And Preacher, you'll never know what you meant to me. And your godly example. I'll tell you what he told me before the service. I don't think he'll care. But he said, you know, talent's not the big thing. What you can do, what you can say. He said, it's right here. He said, spend time with God, preach the word faithfully. What an example. What an example. And we got to see Mrs. Lashley this week before she came home and just thanked her for all her lessons, the labor that she has put in providing all those lessons for years and years and years. Folks, what a blessing. And Preacher, thank you for allowing me to come 35 years ago. That's hard to believe. And he's put up with me for a long time. And thank you for your training and for your example. And folks, hallelujah. It's been good. And we trust it'll continue to be good. Fort Myers, Florida is only 900 short miles away. Free room and board. Just come on. Call ahead. We'd love to have you, and we'll just fellowship together. And again, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Again, it's just the mercy and grace of God, and you folks have been so good to us. And I look around, and man, I just see people we love. And it's hard to leave people you love, but God is moving us. And when God moves you, you got to go. What you going to do? And so we just say thank you, and we love you, and appreciate you all. That was pretty good, y'all. I've learned.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gary. Amen. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. would like to go ahead and dismiss Brother, excuse me. Let me make sure I'm getting everything right here. Brother Gary and Mrs. Seaman, we'd like to go ahead and give you all a head start over to the gym. Again, make sure you make plans to be here for the reception. And we'd like to go ahead and dismiss Brother Heaton and the group from Crown to make their way out to the table. And Brother Marty's going to come at this time and give us a brief update about Pastor. Thank you.
Okay, folks, just a